Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Justina Brakowski-Ney of Cargo Creative, and today we are discussing communicating the true value of your work to clients through effective reporting, building trust, and transparent deliverables. Justina began in the digital marketing area nearly a decade ago and has worked as a freelance PPC consultant, social media manager, link builder, and a content writer. She found herself as a digital and search marketing strategist, working with the big blue chips of GSK, Quiz Clothing, and the likes. From there, she decided to go in-house and worked with a SaaS fintech startup as their director of marketing, where she discovered her true calling for agency life and quality deliverables. Thanks so much for joining us today, Justina.
Thanks for having me.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
So today I'm tuning in from North Tyneside in United Kingdom. It's a tiny little port town next to the Newcastle in Northeast. So I think area-wise we're well known around here, but I think for everyone else worldwide, this place doesn't actually exist.
Okay. So are you in England?
Yes, we're up north in England.
Okay. Awesome. Such a beautiful country. I've only been there once, but I definitely want to go back. And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
I think at the moment it's having to work with clients and educating them through quite a disturbing time for their businesses. Mm-hmm. So we have seen quite a few people kind of, you know, go completely zero in their profits during the lockdown, and then coming out of it, everyone suddenly realizing how important digital is. But it's such a minefield that it is nice to see kind of once you do actually start explaining and educating them, rather than just going like, oh yeah, of course, you know, pay me this or pay me that and I'll do it for you. But instead actually educating and going, here's all of the tools that you require. You know, if you want to do it yourself, you're welcome. But, you know, we can do it here in-house, take it off your hands, and you can focus on more important things. So I think that's at the moment what's like really driving me the most.
I love that. And then can you tell us how you got into digital marketing?
Oh, long story. So I originally kind of started while I was still in uni, and I was focusing on communications and advertising, mm-hmm. and fell into this sort of like a PPC angle. And I was doing a lot of freelance work in the meantime, just kind of to support myself through it. And once that was kind of running dry for me during the summertime of the university, I'll be quite honest here. I ended up landing a pretty sweet agency job where I got to do everything on the delivery team from kind of a digital SEO perspective. So I was a content writer, I was a link builder, I eventually became a strategist where I was working with this big brands and I was creating these large beautiful strategies for them that was encompassing absolutely everything, promoting new lines and everything. And eventually I had a little bit of like a millennial burnout and decided to quit absolutely everything and just completely switch up. And I went to work in-house as a marketing director for a fintech, and we were working on a new product. We were launching the product, and that's kind of where I learned a lot about your venture capitalists and how mm-hmm. that works and all of these business kind of strategic points. But then again, 2 years down the line, I'm like, this is not for me.
Yeah.
I decided to go back to kind of agency life, and then I worked with various different agencies and now kind of work alongside consulting and working for their sort of digital side and helping to develop them entirely. And at the moment I am working with Cargo and delivering their digital and search perspective specifically. So looking at their paid, looking at their search, looking at their content writing, and developing that side of their business as much as I can, really.
Yeah, it's really interesting how just having that that perspective, like, you know, getting away from digital marketing and going to work for a SaaS, it gives you that like outside perspective that no, like I really love the agency life.
Yeah, I think once you start working in an agency, and because you're working with so many different clients all the time and it's jumping from one thing and another thing, you kind of think, oh, you know, if I just had a little bit more time to work on this one client, I would have so much more that I could give them. So I thought, that's going to be a great idea. I'm just going to go settle down on one thing. I'm going to have so much time. And turns out 2 years is too much time.
Yeah.
And you kind of start running dry and you're looking on the outside and the grass seems to be sweeter on the other side. And turns out, you know, grass is sweeter on the other side for me. And it wasn't my cup of tea, but I've learned so much from that experience. And I really value that time working in-house, because now working on an agency site, I have so much more valuable experience that I can offer the business owners, the marketing directors that I'm working with, because I've been in their shoes. I know how it feels. And I know how, you know, sometimes it feels like absolutely everything's flowing from underneath, you know, and you just need someone to take a little bit of work away from you. So it's a really valuable experience. And it really gave me that much extra to kind of my little blacklist of things that I can, you know, offer sort of my clients. But I think it's not for me sitting on the same client all day, every day.
Yeah. You need that variety.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. And then can you talk about how Cargo Creative got its start and then, you know, how you guys differentiate yourselves?
So Cargo Creative started with Paul, who's the kind of the founder here. He was working with BBC in design and moved over back into the north and started a digital agency that were focusing primarily on branding, and they were focusing more on sort of prints and branding and that kind of experience. Throughout the years, they've built up the web development, so website builds. And we actually met through it as well. We were working on the same client. They were doing their web stuff and I was doing their search things. And then eventually I came along a few months ago. Yeah. So it's not actually that long. So about 4 or 5 months ago, I came along to Cargo. Paul invited me to come along to Cargo to join as sort of their head search person and lead the side of the digital search perspective, because they have been growing so much in that field and they were really looking to kind of further it. We met through a client basically because of this, because I was working so much more on them. And 4 or 5 months down the line, we're looking to grow the team. Client work has been growing exponentially sort of month on month, and we're really working on delivering as much work as possible, but we're having to turn some of the work down at the moment. Wow. Just because we cannot hire that quickly. So, you know, slowly but surely, we're kind of building it up, and that's primarily what we're working on at the moment.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a good problem to have when you can't, when you have to turn away work. You're that busy. That's amazing.
At the same time, it's still a problem, and we would rather not have it.
Yeah, definitely. So let's delve into our topic now. And to start, let's talk about communicating value to your existing clients and why this is so important. Can you break this down for us a little bit?
So primarily when we're talking about communicating value to the clients, there's a few issues that come along. First is whenever a client is paying you an X amount of money for your monthly retainer, you know, how do we actually go, well, actually, you know, we brought you this amount of money. You don't really want to kind of, first of all, be quite direct about it, although it is advisable a lot of times, but it can also be difficult to say, well, you know, paying us £1,000 and then us bringing another £2,000, you know, you made £1,000 profit. It can be quite difficult in terms of breaking down the costs. How do you account for brand awareness in that same kind of perspective as well? So once it comes to communicating the value, it really can be difficult to just go, well, you know, we brought you X amount of profit. It's not for every client, doesn't work all the time. So our issue here then becomes on how do we action this? You know, how do we actually tell the client that, you know, what we did is actually worth the amount of money that we did, you know. And sometimes when it's just brand awareness, maybe, you know, we got onto a few different publications and you can't actually see that profit coming through yet. And this is particularly an issue with search. You know, it can take 4 to 5 months for any of the work that we've done to come through or to actually, you know, start climbing rankings.
Yeah.
Especially like if Google came out with a new update and your website's not ready, you know, that's another 4 or 5 months until you can see anything. You know, we're not just there for like, you're number one now and here's all of the beautiful profits. So
yes.
How do I actually show the client of what we're doing? Is it having an effect or that we know it's going to have an effect? You know, and how do we know what their actual pay points are from what we're doing? Perhaps we're just sitting there, you know, focusing on our own work, doing our own things. And, you know, for my search teams, we could be sitting there going like, right, well, this month, you know, we've done X on build, we've done Y on development, and we've built so many different things. But for the client, it just looks like we're kind of ducks above the water, whereas underneath, we have all of these little feet running.
Yeah.
And if the client doesn't know that we have all of these feet running, how do they kind of know what the value comes through? And that's where I think specifically that like the effective reporting comes through, is how do we offer the client of what we're doing as an actual cost, like as a good value for what they're spending. Mm-hmm. And although it seems quite a simple thing, you know, we're just going to show them how much traffic we brought. We're just going to show them, you know, how their rankings are increasing. For a lot of clients, that doesn't mean profit down the line. It might not mean that within the first or second month, but within us working with like smaller clients, you know, £1,000 here and there might not mean much for big blue chips, but it might mean quite a bit, you know, for your local business that is trying to set up a new division, or if, you know, or if they're trying to kind of move into a different country or anything like that. £1,000 can actually bring a full new person on board. How Yes. are you justifying what you're doing? So what we found sort of within Cargo and just generally, that effective reporting is basically where we have that breakpoint with existing clients to help communicate the value of what we're actually doing. Mm-hmm. And some of the interesting things that I've picked up lately is that reporting for the sake of reporting doesn't actually work. Just going, oh, well, here's our traffic, here's how our rankings increase, here's 10 links I've built to you, you know?
Yeah.
And just sending that over to the client means absolutely nothing. They'll come back 4 months down the line and go, look, I don't know what the hell you're doing.
They're confused.
Explain this to me. Yes, they're confused. And oftentimes clients will leave as well because they don't see the value.
Yeah.
They might not communicate this directly to you, but they're just going to go, well, I don't know what you're doing. I haven't seen any increases in sales. You know, this is £1,000 I could be spending elsewhere. And they're going to go away and they're going to go to someone else who probably could have explained this far better than what we were doing.
Yeah.
And I will often come across new clients as well, who I will be sitting there within their sort of benchmarking report. So like first month, you know, onboarding, here's what we've done so far. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, oh, well, no one previously explained this to me. Well, you know, I don't really know what a search volume means. And we're sitting there going, search volume is your primary demand thing. This is the thing that's the most important for you. If you want to focus on this keyword that has 10 people looking for it a month, how do you know that they're not you? You know, we're really there focusing on kind of educating the client about what we're actually reporting on and why.
Yes.
You know, when we're talking about search volume, we're talking about demand for that specific term or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're talking about traffic, why are we actually reporting on traffic? The fact that I've increased the traffic to your website doesn't actually mean anything. For most of my clients, you know, they could be irrelevant. They could just be there for 1 minute and they don't actually get anything. They don't submit a lead. They don't do anything. So if I'm just driving traffic for the sake of traffic, it's not useful for the client. So we're looking to reporting on meaningful results, whether that's their form submission. And I know it's simple to say, oh, just, you know, just report on their form submission.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, it's meaningful form submissions, what actually transferred to their results. And a lot of times it's working on a collaboration with their sales team rather than their marketing team. So kind of surpassing a few people extra, but But we have a few occasions where that has worked very, very well, of where we take our beautiful reports where we're like, here's your sales, here's what, you know, what we've done from the leads. And then we combine the two on kind of on the data studio reports where we work together with their sales team, of where they can input their data into the exact same forms and going, well, these people came for Salesforce and that has connected, that's been connected to your PPC campaign or to your search campaign. These are special pages. Mm-hmm. And that's the very specific reports that actually bring meaning to the bottom line of the business. And at the same time brings meaning, quote unquote, for the stakeholders. They know exactly what we're doing. They know exactly where we're driving traffic.
Okay. That's awesome.
Problem number two is obviously leads and reports like that don't obviously work for all of the clients.
Right.
Again, we have clients where we're going to be working on PR campaigns. Those aren't actually, we don't actually drive sales with them. The goal is to drive brand awareness. How do we report on them? And do we actually just report on the work that we have been doing rather than, you know, you've got X of this or Y of that. Instead, we go, here's all of the beautiful publications that have been talking about you. Here's the amount of work we have done and whether that's going to be kind of meaningful to them. Mm-hmm. Another sort of, it's not like a meaningful report situation as much, but it's important to have a conversation with the client and work in collaboration with them for these reports. Us working on our own, we can quite easily set up a team, do marketing for a company completely separately. We have everyone in-house, we have design teams, you know, we have content, we have build. We can create a full campaign on ourselves and have no input from a client whatsoever. Mm-hmm. What is really important is to constantly have this communication going with a client. And I understand this is coming from a very privileged perspective of where we have the time and availability to actually have a conversation with our clients.
Yes.
And if they send an email to us, we can just call them up and go, hey, you know, what is going on? Let's have a chat. But it's also finding the clients that cannot give you that time either, and creating a strategy of where we can sit down at the start of the quarter and go, here's what we as Cargo are going to do to you. Mm-hmm. And here's how we're going to kind of report on this. And here's how we're going to know this is a successful campaign. Mm-hmm. And if that's not going to work, we're going to pivot to a campaign number B or C or whatever, you know, but this is the plan for the next quarter. And we'll tell you, you know, 3 months down the line of how it's going if you want. So it's also trying to work out of what works for the client.
Yes.
Not everyone has the time, you know, not everyone has the time, and especially working with like very busy, like marketing directors or anything, I'm sure everyone can relate to the fact that they're just going to go, eh. I don't have the time to look over your report. Just do whatever you're doing. It seems to be working. You know, leave me alone.
Is this what you do when you're pitching a new client, is you make sure that they're crystal clear on how the process works, like basically lay it out for them, what everything you're going to do in the first quarter?
Yes, 90% of the time. I think I find as well with the clients that I will go, oh, you know, what are you looking from this campaign as well? Because a lot of times people will come to us just going, oh, you know, we want search. And we're like, okay, well, what do you want from search? And they're like, I don't know, just get me more people on a website. I'm like, what? This doesn't work that way. We don't just get you more people on a website. I'm sure other people will say that for you, but we don't do this. You know,
right.
Just tell us what you're actually looking for. And then suddenly it spars a whole new conversation about what their website is actually supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Because what business owners don't often realize of is why do they have a website in the first place? So that transparency comes from us having a full conversation about what is the meaning of your website and why are people coming to your website? What are you giving them to have, you know, to come onto that website? And they're just like, well, it's, you know, sometimes it's just a brochure or whatever. So it's working through their sales process. So sitting down with them on the very first sort of day or so, of you signing them and just working through their sales process and figuring out at what points we can come in and go, well, search could help here. Search could help there. You know, maybe we can do some PR to help a very top of the funnel, and we could run a few paid campaigns to help closer to the bottom, you know, based on like search intent or if that's applicable to you or not. Mm-hmm. So it's really sitting down with them and having that transparency about where we can come in and what we can actually do. Because at the end of a month, we might not be able to do much if your sales team, you know, we're like, oh, we want all of these leads on the website, and just they're completely gone the next day. So
yeah,
we really have to work together to make this a collaboration rather than just us kind of sitting alone.
Absolutely.
But again, if they don't have the time, we can also set that up, but it's very important to have that transparency and just know of where we stand together as kind of this partnership that they're paying for. This is another thing as well, is I feel like a lot of agencies and also a lot of clients often will forget that they're actually paying for our time. Every single call that you give us, every single kind of, you know, email or anything, that is our time that you are paying for. So you better make it count. And
yes,
it's better for me as an agency to tell you exactly what I'm doing, so you stop asking these questions, so I can do more and
yeah,
I can give you more. And at the end of the month, you're going to go, oh, well, actually, they've done so much, you know, and I only probably spoke to them like 3 times, but they've done so much. I understand what's going on. And the more they understand, the more I'll be able to go by myself and just go, oh, I've done link building this month, you know, and they're like, okay, cool. Whereas now if I just go, oh, I've done link building this month, they're going to go, well, what is link building? Why do I need this?
Yeah.
How are we working out? And that's a full hour conversation, and you can do so much for that time.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And put together, then those reports become such valuable kind of, you know, once they're educated, they become such a valuable, nice little thing to have, where I spend an hour putting them, they spend an hour reading them, and we don't need a call. We just know exactly what's going on. And I think a lot of people completely miss it out. And what I've come across as well of new clients joining us is a lot of agencies trying to protect the work that they're doing. And I understand where this is coming from, is trying to protect the work that you're doing and going, well, we've done, you know, we've done link building. Well, what is link building? Well, link building is this. This is why you need it. And but protecting of like how to do it, how we do it, how, you know, why are we going to these specific places rather than those other big publications, you know?
Right.
And it's quite, from a marketer, I understand why people are doing it. I don't want to tell my secrets to everyone. I don't want to tell, you know, people that I go on Twitter and find 7 journalists that like work for BBC or Vice or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I just email every single one of them until someone gives me, you know, a feature on that big publication. I don't want to tell that to a client. That doesn't sound that good either. I totally get it. But at the same time, if a client doesn't know you were doing that, and then you spend 3 hours trying to chase a single person down to try to get something on like BBC website, they think that you've wasted those 3 hours and they don't know what you were doing for that time. And what seems like a small thing, what seems like a really small thing for them might actually have been one of the bigger things that you've done that week.
Right.
Like, I think it was like last week, maybe a week before. I'm going to brag a little. We were working on, we're starting to introduce a lot more like outreach and more specifically PR campaigns rather than just a typical link building to our clients. So
that's
introducing
cool,
bigger publications, but instead we're doing it through like expert comments, features, maybe having a little like tidbits here and there, and not actually full on like link building with A tags and follow links and all, because they can be expensive these days. I'm pretty sure everyone's turned, switched on about them quite well, so they know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
So instead, we're kind of applying this PR approach to it, and it takes so much longer. I have to go from a journalist to a client, from a client to a journalist, because it's continuously going, well, they asked for this, can you give them this? And then the client comes back and goes, well, can we review it? Well, you can't review it. You know, this is going somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the end of the day, we actually did manage to work through and got a full follow link on Vice UK. You know, that's
a awesome.
2 million visitor website. Yeah. And, but it was 2 hours of work, whereas I actually didn't even comment on anything. But if a client doesn't know that, it sounds terrible.
Yeah.
If a client also doesn't know anything about like the publication or anything, it sounds absolutely terrible, but this is going to be the highlight of my report this month.
Exactly. Yeah, that's incredible. Very cool.
So at the end of the day, we do have to have that full-on communication where a client understands every single thing that you're doing, because it can get out of hand so quickly. And I will come across as well, we call them cowboy SEO people in the United Kingdom.
Okay, but like black hat SEO?
Yes.
Gotcha.
I think cowboy might be quite a British term.
Yeah, I've never heard that before, but I like it.
Yeah, well, we particularly do it for builders, but like actual construction builders. Well, we call them cowboy SEOs, is where someone charges £400, which is in our agency covers half a day, mm-hmm. and then pretends that they're doing something and sends reports out. And then the client comes to us and goes, well, I paid, you know, Matt in the garage £400 a month if he was doing my SEO. Why are you charging us £2,000?
Yeah. And just like, just gouging.
Yes. And it sounds like what we're doing is illegible in compared to what he was doing previously, because people will think he was doing something, you know, it was the exact same level, but here we are, you know, I'm trying to tell you of why what we're doing is actually true SEO and what he was doing might actually be questionable, because he cannot have a team of 15 people and actually pay them a full salary if he's charging £400 for whatever he was doing. So
yeah,
clients will come to us and just go, well, what's your value? Why are you valuing this? And that's the reports and the transparency is the way that we found to kind of open up the relationship that we have with them and have built these lasting relationships. So for now, they're going to come for all of the other services as well, but primarily search.
Yeah. No, I love that. You make some really great points. And it's true. I think really having that transparency, really educating your clients is so important. So they're crystal clear. And then at the end of the day, they're going to, you know, want to pay that retainer. They're going to want to do more business with you. They're going to talk about you with their friends and give you guys referrals. So yeah, it makes so much sense.
Yeah, exactly. I think our biggest struggle so far has been sort of educating new clients, and it's that £400 versus our £2,000 and how we actually convert them at that specific point. And that's kind of the one that we've been battling a little bit more, because with search services specifically, we don't really have any forecasting that we can give them. You know, having worked in the SaaS sort of forecasting industry previously, bottom line is very important for the stakeholders. And sometimes coming into a new business, it can also be difficult for us to just go, well, you know, we're going to do this and it's going to be £4,000. But educating them about the demand that's available there, educating them about the sales funnels and how they can actually benefit their bottom line from what we're actually bringing them as a collaboration rather than a completely standalone, you know, which is going to do a few Facebook posts for you.
Yeah.
That's when it comes through together into like a bigger picture. And then we can actually give them all of the transparency that we have, you know, as long as we're open from the beginning, we know what we're getting at the end of the day, they know what they're getting at the end of the day, and it can become a good working relationship where they're going to rely on you every single day.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Well, to be fair, I was thinking about this for way too long. I was very stressed about this question. I actually think I'm going to settle down on the Ren Fishkin's book. It was all about the venture capitalism, and it actually was during the time that I was working with SaaS where we were going for sort of venture capitalist and trying to build the business from that perspective. And I think that's really what gave me the biggest impact into, you know, what I can actually be doing and how we can achieve it and how important it is, kind of the strategic overview of the entire thing rather than just single little days at a time and having that bigger overview and looking into investment. And I think that was probably the better books for me.
I love that. And what does your morning routine look like?
Oh, so I think obviously get up, have coffee. I lately started having black coffee, so that's a new thing for me. And by lately, I mean it's been 2 days.
Yeah.
me and my husband take our dog out for a walk, have a last little sort of family meeting as that's happening, since he's also the head of search. So So we have a little chat about what's going on in the agencies and how it's going and what are we going to be doing. And then I NASCAR my way into the office.
Nice. I love that. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I think I'm not the first one in the podcast to say this, but Rand Fishkin, yeah, I think as a search person, he was like the first one to come in, I feel like, in my life in a more significant way.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, we started following like Twitter, and the Moz blog was obviously the introduction.
Yep.
He went to Spark Toro, and it's just, I feel like he's probably the only one from the CEO, so also doesn't really have like that bad sort of reputation attached to him as well. So it's quite safe to just, you know, to follow him and not really have that many repercussions as well.
Nice. And what is your favorite online tool?
I think as a search person, it would be SEMrush, but as of late, of kind of doing the more consultations with clients and things, I love this new little tool. It's called Quillbot, and it helps you, like, it's an AI that helps you write more fluently.
Oh, so cool.
Quillbot. Whenever you're writing, yeah. So whenever you're writing anything, and it just does not sound like it's connecting very well, there's an AI to help you connect the whole thing together and just make it a lot more fluent and a lot more beautiful. And I just feel like there's nothing like that out there.
Yeah, I did have a guest talk about something, an AI tool that will help with copywriting. It needs some assistance, but yeah, I got to go back and figure out what tool that was. But yeah, Quillbot is another one I'm going to have to check out.
Yeah, I think I've heard about it as well. We've been talking about kind of introducing a lot of AI within the search to automate a lot of things that we were doing. And I've tried a few, but they still seem to be geared for like US market. So whenever we're writing anything, there's a lot of adjustments we still have to do in terms of like attaching it to the UK market and making sure that we don't spell anything with a Z.
Gotcha. Okay. So this one's more tailored to the UK.
It just tailors for everything. You can actually select language on this.
Oh, you can choose. Oh, very cool. Yeah. I love that. All right. And then last question. What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I would say not every fire is your fire to put out. And not every fire needs to be put out as well. I think a lot of times we'll get stressed. Client will send an email out and like the panic ensues and everyone's in the office is having like a full-blown panic attack about what's going on. And sometimes it's their fire. It's not your fire. So
yeah,
not every fire is yours. You know, you don't have to give yourself a heart attack and you don't have to burn yourself out just because a client is asking for something with a deadline. It's not always your deadline. Sometimes it's down to them and it's okay to tell them no. It's okay.
Yeah, that's great advice. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Justina. I've really enjoyed chatting with you.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and we'll see you next time.